Cardiff Carnival 25th Anniversary Project. Interviewer, Steve Fletcher. Interviewee, Anna Shaw. The location of the interview is the Swicker office. And today's date is the 6th of October 2015. Anna, before we start, would you be kind enough to spell your name in full?
Anna, A-N-N-A, Shaw, S-H-A-W.
Anna, I can remember you in your first Cardiff Carnival way back in 1994. What first attracted you to the Carnival camp in, which at that point was in Cattaya's Community Centre? And I think you lived locally then, didn't you?
Yeah, and a bunch of my friends were involved. I guess it was the first night party with the free food and a bit of social interaction over the summer holidays. And that's how I got involved, really.
No, it's interesting you mentioned, because, of course, the launch parties, certainly at Cattaya's, which was a very sort of open social space. I mean, I've interviewed some other people and they were saying, you know, it sounds very strange now, but, you know, there was a building where people would come after work, perhaps with a four-pack. People would be smoking both inside and outside. It was very much a sort of libertarian feel to it that's... Yeah, in days, current days of health and safety and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
it really was a party. I mean,
it was a very open and welcoming atmosphere, yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody was welcome. And of course, your first Cardiff Carnival Parade in 1994, you got up on stilts, but this wasn't your first time on stilts, was it? So can you remember when you first met stilts and what you ended up doing?
I first got up on stilts back in quite a few years before that, probably about 10 years or so before that. I'm trying to think, actually, maybe more than that. But back in St. Stephen's Theatre Space down the bay, which was run by Moving Being at the time, and they'd set up the South Cardiff Youth Theatre. Peter Waldridge was kind of directing that at the time, and he taught us all to stilt walk. And stage combat and all sorts of other things, but I was one of Herod's soldiers on stilts.
I'd like to have seen that nativity. You know, Alan Shaw is Herod's stilt walking soldier. I can see it in the program now.
I was very mean.
Yes.
I was.
So you've been up on stilts. Pete Waldridge, a fabulous name from community theatre in Cardiff, obviously ran that group. And then many years later, you stumbled upon the Cardiff Carnival in Cattaya's Community Centre. And I'm imagining the tutors, part of our carnival team, who taught you and took you through your paces and helped you build up your stamina again, were Kevin and Oggy.
Yep. Yeah.
And what was it like working with them? Because, of course, they were Bristol-based. They were stilt performers. That was how they primarily made their living, you know, so they were quite expert. What were they like as tutors? I mean, what was it like to learn again?
It was great fun. It got back involved with that. I particularly remember making cardboard fashion victim clothes, actually. That was great fun. And spending hours during the carnival procession on stilts. Going round town.
Right. I remember the fashion victims. I think they were the following years. And weren't they sort of like beatboxery type characters?
Yes,
so it would have been you, Oggy. Reese, do you remember him, Reese? And do you remember Cora?
Cora.
Yeah, so you were like a sort of posse, and it was quite satirical as well. You were sort of gently taking the mickey out of youth fashion, weren't you?
Absolutely. I had a cardboard pineapple hairdo.
I don't remember those being popular at any time.
No. I was not a very fashionable fashion victim.
No. But I remember all your gear was actually made primarily out of cardboard, which was printed and you know, and painted and varnished. And it looked very wonderful. So you're actually up on stilts above the audience during the parade. What's that feel like? I mean, in terms of reception from the audience or even... Well, you know, are your legs turning to jelly through striding around? I mean,
yeah, I've always found it kind of easier to walk on stilts than on my own feet or on high heels.
You're naturally a stilt walker by birth.
I think it's that thing that you've got to keep your legs moving.
Right.
Because you can't stop, because if you stop, you fall over, so you've just got to keep going, so it doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to stop, you find a wall and lean against it, and that's, there's no other way.
So it's a bit like the shark, I think I understand, has to swim permanently to survive, and
yeah,
stilt walkers like the shark of the carnival world.
Yeah, you don't stop until you take them off.
And I think I'm right in saying you never took a tumble, I don't remember.
No.
Never came. Yes, I used to watch Kevin Dennis, one of the jumbies, the stilt performers, and one of the first things he used to say in a lesson was, "If you are going to fall, make sure you don't fall backwards because there's no control." And he'd practice bringing people down. He said, "You come down to your knees, then you come forward onto your hands or your elbows, hopefully onto skateboard pads, which would be on your knees and your elbow." And that way it's all controlled and you've come down in, it made total sense. Rather than falling from a great height, it was like watching somebody, collapse gently and under a very controlled manner. And I think
it does. It goes against your instincts because you have to go forwards.
Yes.
And you have to sort of bend your knees and then put your hands out and it's sort of,
And the rest happens. Gravity does the rest for you.
Yeah.
Yes. So after a couple of years as a very accomplished stilt performer, I have to say, I can still in my mind's eye see you on parade. You then got a taste for drumming. There was a wonderful group the musical director was certainly Chris Gerling, who was deputy musical director of Samba Galés at the time, and it was called Rundamental. Tell us a bit about Rundamental.
It was fab. It was, well, there was a lot of workshops leading up to it. There was like about 6 or 8 weeks worth of, I think, 2 workshops a week or something leading up to it, and lots of drumming, but lots of physical warm up as well. And I remember never being so fit in my life as I was at the end of that. And we ran around town for, I think, 2 hours or more, drumming and running constantly for the actual carnival.
And the troupe, I think, was probably as big as 20 or 30 people. I mean, it was huge. And what was the look? Because it was a very distinctive look, I remember, as well.
We were all black and white, kind of tribal-looking stuff at the time. And I remember running up to friends of mine sitting in town, and they didn't even recognise me.
So you're on parade, you're drumming in costume, and they've got no idea.
No idea it was me at all. But yeah, it was great fun. And we just ran and drummed for hours.
I think it's one of the groups who really took to heart the whole, yes, you can paint your face, but look, why don't we go for a total body look? And I mean, that bit which wasn't covered with specially printed designs in black and white seemed to be...
Yeah, we were painted all over.
Painted all over. I can remember that. I mean, and the whole group looked amazing and had this frenetic energy, because not only would you stop and drum, you'd then, like a unit, get up and run somewhere else and do it. Yeah. I mean... There was Rundamental was well named. There was quite a high entry level, wasn't there? There was a fitness regime that you had to come twice a week and...
Yeah, you did. Yes, you needed to.
Build up your stamina. But Chris obviously knew what he was doing because, and in fact, he went further down that line and he's now a professional fireman, you'll be glad to know, to be very, very, very physically fit. So... Chris has kept that up. I think you kept up on the drumming in your next incarnation as a drummer. You weren't black and white. You were
blue and gold. Blue and gold. And we didn't do quite so much fitness regime and running this time, but it's still a lot of drumming.
Excellent.
I remember this time we went off from Cotes Community Centre again, I think.
Yeah, and then over the bridge, which was a nice moment because I could look back and see how big the parade was and just think, wow, all these people coming together, very, very special. No, it was smashing.
It was lovely.
So that's you as an individual, as it were. And then, of course, life intervenes and children and families emerge. And you left Cardiff for a while, so certainly we weren't as accessible as we used to be. But then you're back and you're pregnant in a parade. What's that? What were you wearing? How did it feel to be carrying child whilst on a carnival parade?
At that point, yeah. It was probably it was the first of my sober carnival experiences. I was wearing some sort of jester thing. What was it? Some fool's thing.
Oh, right. I can see the Feast of Fools.
Feast of Fools.
Feast of Fools was the carnival theme.
Rather colourful not quite patchwork, but big colourful pantaloons with sort of, you know, one colour at the top and another colour on the left.
I think they were quite, I would say they were harlequin-esque.
Oh, that's the word, yeah.
It's a very long word.
but very colourful harlequins.
Yes.
And, it was fun. In the heat of summer. Thankfully, I don't think I was pregnant at that point.
I was about to ask you how.
Yeah, still yes. kind of.
And of course, we finished down in Cardiff Bay before the WMC, the Wales Millennium Centre, was even built at that point. It was, it was still relatively early days for Cardiff Bay as a visitor destination. But again, a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah.
You know, everybody enjoyed themselves. As a mum of three now, of course, you've still got contact with the Cardiff Carnival.
We're back. All my kids have been in the carnival at some point in their pushchair, all decked out.
Lovely.
Bits of in terms gold of, and whatever.
Yeah.
At various different times. And now the oldest one is 13 and the youngest one is 5.
Wow.
So last year she was in her pushchair.
Right.
This year she wasn't, escaped. And she was all over the place. It was quite scary. It was rugby international, so it was absolutely packed. It was fun.
So that's the joys of actually being on parade with children who are perhaps a little overexcited upon occasion. And who can blame them?
This year, but it's nice. And my middle son particularly really got enthusiastic about it when they came along last year. He didn't want to join in, but once they were in the parade, he couldn't wait to come back this year.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for remembering and bringing us back all your carnival memories. I think it's worth saying that sort of, Anna, you're one of the people who I associate with theatre and special events and participation in Cardiff, because your involvement, you've mentioned getting involved with Moving Being Theatre Company when you were very young, being part of South Cardiff Youth Theatre.
Yeah.
And in fact, tell us, before all that happened, Moving Being, who were a very innovative theatre company, undertook a project about the great storehouse of Welsh legends, the Mabinogion, and that actually brought you to Cardiff initially. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I was about 8 when the first one happened, and I was in all the Mabinogis. They did 4 in total, I think. I was 8 when the first one happened, and we were living in London. My mother got a part in the Mabinogi.
Yeah.
And so that brought us to Cardiff for a few months while we were performing in that. And as one of the children of the cast, I ended up sort of in the cast myself.
As one does. No one escapes.
We were kind of gypsy kids and mice in the third branch, which was very exciting.
I think that was your...
And it was a magical experience because it was in Cardiff Castle and there was...
Open air.
Yeah, open air. With a kind of medieval fair as well, and people on, people on the battlements and these massive carts.
And there were people on horseback, were there not?
People on horseback, massive, huge wooden carts where the stage would roll in on carts.
And wow.
It was amazing. It was really magical as a kid to be there.
Right.
I think my mum had such fun in Cardiff that we moved to Cardiff after that.
Right. And of course, I remember the first time I met you would have been part of Theatre Taliesin Wales.
Yeah.
And I only joined them for the second part of a trilogy of Indo-Celtic plays. Would you have been in the first one, which I missed, Tristan and Iseult?
Yeah, I was in.
So you did Tristan and Iseult,
and my mum as well in the first one.
Excellent.
And
run by Nigel Watson and Stuart Cox.
Stuart Cox was living in our house at the time of the first one. He was our lodger.
Right. He's now living in Mexico, you'd be glad to know.
He's now living in Mexico, and I'm actually the treasurer for Celebrating Cultures, which he was directing.
Excellent.
Director for.
Right.
It was fun. It was multi... Not so much bilingual, was it? But multilingual, it was kind of...
Yes, how is your Urdu and your Pashto and... We can manage the Namaste, is it? I think that's probably...
Something like that, yeah.
Right.
But there was, Welsh folk dancing and Indian and folk dancing and drumming and sitars and all kinds of stuff going on.
And of course, for the second play, we brought over a group from India, the Bavayas from Gujarat. A troupe of 30 folk theatre performers, half of whom were brought up as female impersonators to play the female roles, because in Gujarati society and that tradition, women weren't allowed to perform. Do you remember them at all? I mean, extraordinary characters. And my personal favorite. Do you remember the fairly old, he would pass on now, clown Ratibar? He was my favorite, but shaved head, and he had this sort of, he's just a lovely, lovely old man. And taking them on tour was, you know, got very fond memories of them.
Lovely bunches,
extraordinary. And of course, in many ways, my time with Taliesin helped spawn Swicker, because during that. Yes, we'd have the 10 weeks of rehearsals and performances at the Gujarati Samaj Centre in Grangetown. But then we tried to actually expand that, and we would, you know, the community orchestra would set up for the play. We'd then try and see if we could keep that going, you know, through the year, etc. And I think it was through that that certainly I first helped introduce percussion. You know, we started with African drumming. And then once Taliesin had gone to Glasgow for European City of Culture, and I set up Swicker, we introduced samba drumming, which, as a virus, has managed to take over. You know, you can find it throughout the length and breadth of Wales, which is smashing. It's just got to be a good thing. Well, Anna, thank you very much indeed for all your carnival memories. Shall think of you on stilts. I shall think of you drumming in body paint. And I shall think of you both as a pregnant parader and a mum marshalling her kids as the carnival, what can I say, madness increases. So many thanks indeed. And I have to say, though, it's not bankable, but it's a very worthy award. Can I just say, Anna Shaw, you are a Cardiff Carnival hero.
Yay.
Thank you very much.